I said, Jesus is not the good side of God. Jesus is God. All right? So whatever we see in God is what we see. Look at Colossians 1, verse 15. It says, look at verse 13. Oh, no, let's start from verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So who is the image of God? Jesus. Look at Colossians 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9. It says, for in him, that's in Christ, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does your translation say?
For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity.
Yes. So fullness means fullness. That is all of God. If you want to see all of God, look at Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Let me, what will help you in Bible studies? Don't try to deep things too much. Just read. You can deep things when you get home or when you're studying. Just listen and, you know, take notes. So Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, verse 2, I'll start from, okay, not in Hebrews yet. Wow. Okay, you need to write faster. It says, I'll start from verse 1. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, uphold all things by the word of his power. So it tells us that Christ is the express image of God. So are you there? So I close with this. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Yeah, waiting for you. James chapter 1 verse 2. Are you there? Okay. Just go to. All right. James 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, he now says in verse 13, it says, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. The word tempt there is the word perasmos. And perasmos. Temptation is perasmos. I'll explain that. Perasmos means an experiment or a trial. I'll spell perasmos. It means P-E-I-R-A-S-M-O-S. P-E-I-R-A-S-M-O-S. So, it's temptations. Temptation. It means experiment or trials. Trials of life. And that only means evil. You know? It means a kind of discipline or provocation. James said, no man should say when evil comes upon him that God sent it to them. So it means that we should never accuse God or blame God for any bad thing that's going on in our lives. Don't ever say God is using this situation to teach me a lesson. That's what James is saying here. You know, that's what James is saying here. Don't ever say God is using this to teach me a lesson. God does not do that. The way God disciplines us or teaches us is through the word. We read the word and we understand. That's actually the way. You can read that properly later in Hebrews. So now,
there's a scripture about discipline.
Yeah, that's Hebrews. I think it's Hebrews. I can't write a particular, you know, for God chastises those that he loves, his children. That chastisement means correction. It's the word correction. Correction, and it's through the word. If reading context, it's through the word. Alright? It's through reading the Bible that God corrects us. It's not through circumstances. Some people feel like God is using sickness to teach them a lesson. You know, we feel like, you know, maybe God is allowing these things to happen because he wants you to be stronger. You know, God is testing your faith. He doesn't do that. If God is testing your faith, then it means he does not know what he put there in the first place. Yeah? God created you in his image. I mean, when you got born again was when you were created in God's image, actually. It's not... All right. So when God created in his image, all right, that thing he put inside of you, he knew what he put inside of you. So it was not something that he's trying to find out, okay, let's see whether she's strong. Let's see how strong she is. No, there's nothing like that. So James says, what's your question?
When people usually say, oh, God is like disciplining me or teaching me a lesson.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they don't necessarily mean that, oh, God is trying to see if she's going to do this or that. Because God knows, but sometimes it's God using it to show us. Like, for example, there's some things that I've been through that it's kind of like I've come to realize more things about myself through that. But not necessarily like, oh,
so is it God that used it to show you?
No. Like, for example, in context, like, not necessarily like, oh, sickness or something, because those things, that's not God. But for example, if like God is like, you know, saying, okay, Matumbi, you should do this, and I'm just not listening, God will eventually just allow.
No, God will not do it. God won't do anything.
God will not allow.
He will not allow. No, God will not. God, listen, God. He cannot do anything evil. That is, even if you disobey him, he's going to find another route to help you.
But it's not God doing it. It's God, like, for example,
God allows no evil.
Like, for example, with me, I can go, for example, if I say I want to go into a shop and steal something, that's not necessarily God telling me to do it.
Yes, of course.
If I'm walking into a shop, God has permitted it because I've done it.
Even when you get into trap, God is going to find a way to deliver you from it. Is so that that's how it is? Yeah, let me give an example. Look at Cain, the first murderer. He killed Abel. He ran away from God. God asked him, "Where's your younger brother?" He said, "So where's your brother?" He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And then look how he's talking to God. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And then God said, "You know, because of this thing that you have done, these things are going to be happening. People are going to be after you because of this, because of your life." And then he said, and Cain said, "God, what will I do? People are going to be after me." Then God said, "I'll put a mark on you. No one will be able to touch you." The murderer. That's the first explanation of God's true character. Someone that purposely went to murder, kill someone. God protects a murderer. Imagine that. So the thing is this. If you read in context, that's why I just jumped to verse 13. And I know that there's a danger. You see the danger in not reading the context. I jumped on scripture. If you read properly, you see how James said, he says let patience have a perfect work. Okay, look at verse 3. He says, knowing is that the trying of your faith. Now, what tries you? The situations of this world try your faith, not God. It's the situations of this world, because this world is sinful, but you have Christ in you. So they place a demand on who you are, and when they are placing a demand on who you are, they are trying your faith. They are testing your faith. But let that patience have perfect work in you, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He now says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all liberally, and let him ask in faith, and don't ask in a double mind. Verse 8. Then he now says in verse 13, let no man say, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. God does not, for say God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt anyone. He now says in verse 16, say, do not err. The word err there is the word what's the word again? Planao. It means to miss a point or to fall astray. That's what it means. Don't err. It says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, coming from above. Coming for the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. He says God's path is to give you good. That is,
if I don't want good,
if you don't want, now watch this. There's a termination, or there's an end to which God would not be able to do anything, and that is when you reject him. All right, so when you reject God, in terms of natural things, for instance, God says go left, you go right, you get into trouble. God can't, because you have free will. However, even when you get into trouble, God says that in that midst of temptation, he's able to create a way of escape. So when you have, when you see someone that says, I'm suffering, I actually deserve it, I disobeyed God. Don't say that. Don't give excuses for your predicament. I met someone the other day. I won't mention the particular day. I met someone, and the person said, I have dyslexia, something like that. He said, I'm also autistic. I told him, don't say that. He said, no, that he's just different from other people. It does not mean it's an illness. In fact, he got angry. And I was trying to explain to him that that is not what God has for you. He felt so comfortable in his sickness. He said, he was already saying that people that are lame or blind and deaf are just different naturally. They are not sick. That who says they are sick? You know how people think? People have a, that is, Satan can allow modernization to corrupt Christianity. And I showed him in the Bible, why did Jesus say, go and heal the sick, go and cleanse the lepers, go and raise the dead? I asked him, why did Paul make a lame man walk? Why did Peter, why did they do that? He said he does not have the answer to that. I just shook my head. So I told him, I ended with this. I said, listen, whatever you don't find in Christ, you don't accept it. If in Christ I don't see myself sick, I cannot be sick. If Christ is not blind, I cannot be blind. If Christ is not deaf, why should I be deaf? My image is the image of God. I see myself in Him. Yeah, that's why I got born again. When I got born again, I was born into perfection. He says that He has made me in His image. So why would I be accepting things that are not like Christ? Like someone say, because I'm 35, then I cannot. What? Sarah gave birth at the age of 90 something. I don't believe in all those medical. There's a point where you can understand it. Well, at a point where it gets against the image you have in God. No, I don't accept. No, I don't take rubbish. We don't take rubbish in our family. We are born of God. We have the image of God in us. So we don't give excuses. We don't give excuses for any predicament. We don't give excuses for anything. We know the Father we serve. He says every good and perfect. He calls it good. He calls it perfect. Good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light, not the Father of light and darkness. The Father of lights. God is light. He says in Him, John 1:5, in Him is no darkness. So I'll ask you. It means that in the Old Testament, there are many things that God was accused of that was not God. There are many things that people would write, and God said, and God never said. 2 weeks ago, I gave an example that Jesus said, you have heard it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Don't resist evil, but pray for them that curse you. Bless them that curse you, rather. Pray for them that despitefully use you. He says, but I say, it means that God never said it the first time. But if you read Exodus 21, you see, and the Lord said, because it was written by Moses. And Moses had limited revelation. Moses didn't know God properly. And you know, next week we'll see who gave the law, why it was given, and all that. Because many things in the Bible, if you do not read it properly in the light of Christ Jesus, you would misunderstand it. Praise the Lord. So every good and perfect gifts come from the Father of light, in whom there's no variableness. The word variableness means there's no second side of God. When people say God has many sides, that's a very wrong thing. God has one side, light. God has light. So I should be able to trust God. It means that if I go to the shop and I want to get this bottle. Look at that bottle. You have a bottle of water. Please, can you pass it to me so the audience can see? This bottle. Let's say I go to the shop and I want to buy this. I want to buy Kirkland spring water. And I go there and I buy it. And then when I open it, let me ask you, if I open and drink, will I drink coffee? Will I drink Pepsi? Will I drink acid? What will I drink? Water. But imagine I drink coffee. I will never be able to trust it again. I won't buy it again because I don't trust it. What it looks outside is not what is inside. But God is such that what you see on the outside, that is Jesus, is the same thing you drink. You can trust God. He's light in out. Only light. Never ever angry, never ever looking for faults. God is light. God is light. He gives light. He gives light. He gives light. Please rise to your feet. He gives light. He gives light. And next week, and we'll be seeing how that in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden. Because many people think that God created a tree called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then God planted it in the garden. And then told Adam, don't eat this. After creating the tree, what do you expect the man to do? We'll see it. We'll see who really put the tree there. Who put the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Where is the Garden of Eden? Because if God is light, he will create good. Say, my Father is the Father of lights. I trust my Father. I can trust my Father. I can easily receive from my Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, I trust Jesus. Jesus explains my Father to me. He explains God to me. In him is no darkness, no